News Talks Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
Thanks to Air, with UEFA Champions and Europa Leagues action. Brought to you by Air Sport.
Yeah, you're very welcome back. So Mike Ross, 2 Six Nations titles. He played at 2 World Cups, 61 caps for his country. He won 2 Heineken Cups. He won a Challenge Cup. He won 2 Pro 12s with Leinster, over 150 appearances for them, and has decided to call time on his career at the end of the season. Mike, you're very welcome.
Thank you. Thanks very much for having me.
How are you feeling about it all?
Yeah, mixed emotions, really. It's a bit sad in a way to call time on something that I've played for so many years, ever since I was 11 or so. But yeah, at the same time, there's a fairly exciting opportunity in front of me, and I'm looking forward to grabbing it with both hands.
That opportunity's in the tech industry, is it?
Yeah, it's with a software company called Wizuda, W-I-Z-U-D-A, and they specialise in something that's very relevant today, which is data protection.
Right.
Yeah, it's a complete change of career path, but yeah, it's something I find interesting, and hopefully I'll be able to do half as well in it as I did in my rugby career.
Mm. A quote from 2015, you said, "It'd be nice to think I'll be first choice until I'm 40, but I'll keep going as long as I can, and if another guy wants my place, he'll have to take it. That's sport, I'll make him fight for every last inch." And then in 2016, last year, you said, "They'll have to drag me out kicking and screaming. The decision will be made for me," put it like that. Is that how it's come to an end? Is it tallied as you expected?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the way it finished up is there wasn't an option for another year at Leinster there. And I didn't really want to go abroad because it would have to be a fairly lucrative offer to have gotten me abroad, because I'm well settled here in Dublin, a family, 2 young kids. So I didn't really want to move. And so I started looking around, and yeah, this opportunity came up. So I was pretty lucky in the end. It was kind of just right time, right place, really.
Mm. Has it felt like a sudden decision, or did you feel this was coming from a way off from the last year or so?
Once you hit 35, you start wondering about it. But I still felt good, and I suppose the impetus for it was probably the hamstring injury I got back in November. Well, Ireland were off beating the All Blacks. I was togging out against Zebre, and was only on for 5 minutes. And they made the stupid mistake of pushing Peter Dooley out of the way to carry the ball. So,
bad choice of
options. And I just got monstered by 2 guys and tried to put my leg out to try and stop myself getting smashed in contact, and something went pop.
That's never good when that happens.
No, it's not. It's not. It was a weird one, because it didn't feel too bad, because I did something similar the year before.
Yeah.
And I felt a lot worse, so I was convinced it wasn't too bad. But then the MRI scan showed it was a bit worse than we thought.
Do alarm bells go off in your career, or in your head rather, when somebody like Tadhg Furlong emerges? Do you instantly think, oh great?
Yeah, I have a good relationship with Tadhg, but I remember watching him coming up, and I knew he was special from a good way out, and so I knew it was kind of like a matter of when, if not if, I suppose the if part was if he could stay fit, which he has, and he's a pretty special talent, I think.
And how was the relationship? You say it was good. I figure you would determine if that relationship is going to be good or bad as the senior pro in the equation.
Yeah, well, I don't know. He's a very likable guy, so it's hard to stay mad at him. But no, we got on quite well. We're both from kind of agricultural backgrounds, so we can talk about that. And he was always had enormous appetite for knowledge. So anytime I was sitting down doing scrum review or whatever, he'd be sitting next to me, and we'd be looking at things, trying to pick up things, or ask me questions during sessions to try and figure out the little bits that are important in the development of a young prop.
At which point do you lie to him and say, "Well, what you want to do is this"?
Yeah, open your chest right up for the loose. I get under it, make it nice and comfy. No, because, well, for one thing, rugby is a squad sport, and you need everybody in the squad if you're going to win things, and we all want to win things in Leinster. It's we went a good few years winning a medal every season. We've had a bit of a dry spell since, but things like we have a very good chance of ending that this year. We need a couple of things to go our way, but it's in our own hands.
What gave you the most satisfaction? I know in your statement you mentioned European Cup final in 2011, that comeback against Northampton, and the Six Nations in 2014. Are they very much the highlights for you?
They'd be up there along, you know, along with my first cap for Ireland, because it, you know, like if half time in 2011 we looked pretty dead and buried, and it was like one of the great rugby comebacks. And after having been tossed around the pitch for the first 40 minutes to do a bit of pushing back in the second half, was brilliant, because at half time I felt fairly low. I think a lot of us did, but we just hadn't held on to the ball. And
it also seems like the forwards did very good work in that half time team talk. Video analysis was done, a few things were changed around. Can you remember that?
We thought that we're trying too hard as individuals, that we weren't working together. Like, I remember my focus before that game was making sure that, you know, Tongawea didn't get around the outside of me, and I was kind of probably pushing myself too far out into the space, which allowed Hartley to get under my left shoulder and cause trouble. So I just stayed a bit closer to Richard Strauss, and that kind of fixed that problem. And, you know, the momentum changed after halftime. There was a big swing, and I think we rode that wave.
Amazing, the small margins.
Yeah, it really is. It's very small margins. I mean, we were talking last week before the Claremont semi-final that if Fofana had spent a little less time working on his guns, the ball wouldn't have bounced off, and we probably would have lost that semi-final.
Yeah,
back in 2012.
Yeah. And so, what about day to day? I mean, it seemed that you talked in your statement about the general atmosphere around Leinster, and that you're going to miss that quite a lot. It seems like you really enjoyed the cut and thrust day to day of being around a dressing room culture.
Yeah, it's really enjoyable. I suppose you have to have a certain type of mindset to enjoy it, because it is fairly ruthless. Like, the guys will be sniffing around any sign of weakness, and they'll all be piling into you.
Leave your feelings at the door. General point.
Any standard HR company would have a fit if they heard some of the stuff that goes on. But no, I've really enjoyed it, and you know, Every day I go in, I'd be like, because I've worked in the real world. I worked in the lab before I turned professional, so I know what it's like out there. And rugby's a little bubble, and it's nice to exist in it as long as you can, because to be honest, you're going to be struggling to find something as enjoyable as that again.
Any favourite memories or stories away from the pitch that you can tell on air, which sum up your time in rugby or the enjoyment that you had?
I have a good one, actually. Trevor Hogan won't thank me for this.
He's a friend of the show, so he'll understand.
He's a friend of the show, he'll enjoy it.
He's told tales about you boys plenty of times.
I've told this. So I was with Ireland A, and we were over in Chicago, I think, was it 2009 or something? And we're playing Argentina, and every scrum, this RG second row was hammering me in the face. Like, I see this big fist come up, whack me in the eye, and it'll come back down again. Now, I'm bound up, so I can't get to him. So I'm going mad, and I say to Trevor Hogan, "Trev, next scrum, will you whack that bugger for me, will you?" And he goes, "Sure thing, skin," in that Tipperary accent of his, which I'm not going to even try and do. And so next scrum, we're down, and of course Dargy is whacking me in the face, and next thing I see this big brown fist come up between my legs and punch me square in the nose. So, yeah, it was a bit of friendly fire. And I was roaring at him afterwards, going, "Trevor, what the hell is that? I'm sorry, I couldn't reach." So he tried, God bless him, but the execution left a lot to be desired.
Yeah, that's the kind of magic stuff which makes the whole journey fun, that we don't fully know is going on half the time.
I tried to get him again after a mall near the end, and he absolutely filled me in. He had a superior reach, and our team doc at the time, Aina Falvey, who's I think he's the Lions medic now, still has a picture on his phone of my eye looking like Rocky Balboa.
Courtesy of Hogan.
It wasn't Hogan, it was the Argentinian.
Oh, the Argentinian guy got you again.
He got me again because I tried to pick a fight with him and I didn't come out too well out of it.
Are you excited about the new career?
Yeah, I think it's like, with Zuda, they specialise in data protection. So if you have any details with a company, you have the right to have them looked after. Like, if I'm on Amazon, I search for something. Within 10 minutes, I'll see targeted ads based on what I've just looked at. Yeah. Yeah. Have you noticed that yourself?
Oh, yeah. I just get golf equipment sent to me the whole time on ads.
Yeah. So I think people are starting to get a little bit fed up of it, and it's going to be quite interesting to see what is done in the legislature over the next coming years to deal with that. But for now, we have this EU directive that all companies have to comply with, or the fines can be quite substantial, I think. Something in the 20 million or 4% of your turnover, whichever is greater.
Right.
So there's a substantial incentive to comply with it. And Wizuda, they've developed a system to help make sure everyone is covered. So, yeah, it's a very interesting field and one I'm looking forward to getting stuck into.
Yeah, that is different from Trevor Hogan digging you in the head.
Yeah, yeah, a bit less painful.
Can I just mention something, and listen, by no means do to talk about it in any depth, because it's not really why we're here. We're here to pay tribute to your career. But I just read a line which really struck me, that obviously last year you're playing in the Six Nations, and in the Six Nations just gone, before the England match, I was reading that you were outside the stadium for Pieta House with, you know, buckets trying to raise funds.
Yeah.
I mean, we all walk by people doing that all the time, don't think too much of it. And you've come out and spoken about the death of your brother in the past when he was 16 years old, which is kind of unfathomable for us, really, who haven't had to deal with anything like that. And I did think, God, yeah, I walk by, Chuggers is the name, I walk by people all the time without thinking about it in too much depth.
Yeah. Yeah, I was definitely chugging away outside Pieta House, because, as you mentioned, yeah, having lost my brother to it, it's certainly an area that I have a deep personal interest in. Mm. And to be fair to Pieta House, they do some sterling work in that field. I'm not the first player to get involved. Jack McGrath has been doing great work with them before. So I think for everyone in Ireland, suicide is something that's touched everybody at some point, whether directly or indirectly. And
it's an epidemic at the moment, really.
Yeah, yeah. And especially among young men. So if we can do something that makes people aware of it, or think twice, or pause, then we've done something worthwhile.
Mm. You were 17 when it happened. He was 16.
Yeah.
In the intervening 20 years of your life, like, I presume you don't make sense of something like that, but about the issue, have you learned things which surprised you or struck you that are worth sharing?
I don't know. Like, with my brother, I think it was just a spontaneous spur of the moment thing, because that's the kind of guy he was. I don't think there was any planning behind it, really.
Total shock.
Total shock. They didn't leave a note or anything like that. So to this day, we still don't know what caused it. But, you know, we wish that if he had been going through some personal issues, he would have said it to one of us. Because
you had a good relationship with him.
Yeah, good. We fought like cats and dogs, but
that's,
you know,
normal.
That's what brothers do.
Yeah.
So, it's just a huge waste, because he was a very bright guy, very athletic, a bit like myself. But, it kind of makes you think about what might have been.
Mm.
And that's the tragedy of it, you know, especially when a young person takes their own life, the waste of potential.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's just something that, it's great that, I remember you coming out talking about it a few years ago, and I just thought, brilliant. It's great, because there's so many, it's, as you said, it's an epidemic. It's something we need to talk about as much as possible, get out in the open. More people like you doing that is just great. And I'm sure it wasn't easy to do and come out in the papers and do it, and were you in two minds about talking about it?
Kind of, but, you know, if you don't talk about it, that just makes it easier for it to stay in the shadows. And, yeah, it has been 20 years, which makes it easier, you know, because, like, for the first 3 or 4 years, it was very tough, you know, but, you know, still tough, especially my parents. Yeah. Like I said, his 20th anniversary was there last year, and they still feel it fairly keenly, I think.
Yeah. What can you say? There's still confusion. You don't, I mean, it's just...
Yeah, yeah, it's a great unknown there as to what caused it, and... as a parent, you probably feel that you failed your child in some way, even if you haven't.
Of course.
It's just a natural reaction. So there's a lot of soul searching and self-blaming. And it's very tough for a parent to go through that, because I know certainly from having two kids of my own, I spend most of my time just trying to keep them alive. Especially when the two-year-old is running for the front gate and there's a busy road outside and you're chasing after her because she thinks you're having fun. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I have electric gates now.
Yeah, there probably are times where you turn to your two-year-old and think, am I doing a good job? I don't even know anymore. I'm too tired.
Yeah. I gave her the nickname of Lumpy because she was always whacking her heads off or something. I wanted to put a scrum cap on her, honestly.
Well, the bottom line is, one, I just wanted to mention it because I just thought it was brilliant that you did come out and talk, and two, It made me think twice about walking by the Chuggers outside the Aviva Stadium.
Yeah, well, I was pretty good at that because I saw lots of people I knew.
Yes.
So I was chasing them down and, oh, you've only got 50 in your wallet. Oh, no, I don't give change.
Congratulations on a career. I presume you, I know you've mixed feelings. Another few years might have been nice, but I presume you're damn glad it turned out the way it had in the whole, and that's how you depart the scene.
Yeah, it's for, like, I'm quite lucky. I never had an operation in my career. You know, touch wood, there's still about four weeks left.
Is the body good now?
Yeah, it's pretty good. To be honest, the knees are creaking a little bit at the moment because Stuart Lancaster is running the Arsenal's office and training.
Right.
But it pays dividends, as you can see in the games.
Well, even the second half.
Yeah.
At the weekend.
Yeah. I think our fitness is really good at the moment.
Mm.
And it seems to be a point of difference.
Yeah. So knees are creaking.
A little bit, not too bad.
And the rest of you?
It's okay. Yeah, my back's good. The only thing I have to show for rugby is a bulging disc in my neck.
Right. And will you now be exercising fairly regularly in your life, or is it a case of I don't want to run ever again?
Well, I don't want to run ever again, right? But my wife's already been on to me saying she's standards, so I'm going to have to do something. No, I do like lifting, and I do like going on the bike, so I'll stick to those. But to be honest, I don't think road running would be too kind to the joints.
No.
Going forward.
No. Well, listen, thanks so much for coming in. Congratulations on a brilliant career, and it was great to see it blossom over the years. And again, just to remind people, you do retire with 61 caps, 2 Six Nations, 2 World Cups under your belt, 2 Heineken Cups, a Challenge Cup, 2 Pro 12s with Leinster. Not bad.
Yeah, not too bad. I'll be pretty content looking back on that, I think, in the years to come.
Good. Mike Cross, thanks so much.
Thanks very much.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Enjoy 7 channels of sport free on the Air Sport Just Mobile app.